Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Logan Paulson joining us. Real question for you. Lattimore's here, right? Yeah. Like the team posted a video of him. They just traded for him yesterday. Assuming he's healthy and ready to rock, can he play this weekend? What is kind of the required understanding for him to be out there Sunday?
Yeah, so I think if he's physically capable of going, it just comes down to mentally, like whether he can handle the responsibilities of the defense and learn it in, what is it, 3-4 days? And I don't know how complicated Joe Witt Jr.'s defense is. I think when you watch him on film, they run probably 4, maybe 5 coverages, depending on the game plan week. So I think that's something you could get your head around. But yeah, if he is not feeling great mentally, then I don't think he'll play. And maybe it takes 2 weeks. I don't know. But if he's a smart dude, gets locked in, studies it up, yeah, he can get ready to go.
I feel like he'll get the call. I feel like he's going to play. I don't know.
We don't know anything yet, right? Yeah, we don't know anything yet. But I kind of feel the same way. But if he doesn't play, I wouldn't be surprised, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I think it's fair that we at least allow our audience right now to understand that it's not a given, right? That he plays Sunday against George Pickens and what is suddenly, at least on the surface level, an explosive Steelers passing attack.
Yeah, like if he doesn't play, it's not a bad thing. If he does play, it'd be impressive that he got it all kind of worked out mentally in a week and that the coaches got him ready to go. So if I was going to put money on it, I'd probably say he doesn't, but I for some reason, I think he's going to play, even though like my logical brain is kind of categorizing it that way.
Well, it's interesting because I think we both understand the tall task of getting ready to go this week. But the way these guys operate, like the Peters-Quinn dynamic, leads me to believe there have already been conversations about the ability to go right away.
Get him ready.
You know what I mean? I don't know, but
I mean, this week it'd be really awesome if he could play, because I think when you're looking at the Steelers and what they do offensively, like getting Jeremy Chinn down in the box as opposed to kind of in that 2 safety shell or quarter safety shell and making him fit from depth, I think would be extremely advantageous, because this is a team that wants to run the football. So if you could play, you don't have to play man all the time, but if you could play a couple more snaps of man with him out there, and like we talked about, elevate Benjamin St. Juice to a role that's more befitting him, put Sanders still in a better spot, and getting some of those more single high coverage structures with more confidence because he's on the field, I think it gives you a significantly better chance to win the football game. I think that's the thing that's exciting about him potentially playing this week.
I tend to agree with you, man. I think, are you specific to the Steelers? Were you surprised when they made the move to Russ, and have you been surprised by Russ's success since?
Not really. I wasn't surprised they made the move. I've been a little surprised by Russ's success, but I think when you watch him throw for throw, it's not that surprising, I guess what I'm saying. It's like basically he's playing a very low percentage style of football, and what I mean by that is he's pushing the football down the field a little bit more. His average depth of the target is significantly higher. His pass the stick percentage is significantly higher. Basically, he's just throwing go balls more.
Yeah,
and you know, he's throwing digs a little bit better than.
I always thought he's a good deep ball thrower.
No,
too. Yeah,
absolutely.
Has a real high arc on it.
Absolutely, those moon balls and all that stuff, whatever they're calling that. And so, I definitely think that unlocks this offense, because when you have the ability to do that versus a single high look, and you can throw the football the way he's thrown it, it makes Najee Harris more effective. It makes the offensive line more effective. It makes your entire offense more effective, because when you look at the analytics, you're, I think it's 55% more likely to score when you hit an explosive play on a drive, right? And if you don't do that, it just becomes harder. It becomes a slog. It's so hard to stack, you know, 16, 18 plays on top of each other and come away with points. So I just think he's raised the floor of that offense. And again, it's not a very high percentage style of play because those go balls are essentially 50-50 and in some places 40-60 in terms of the likelihood you complete the ball. But it's raised the floor of the offense because it's made them more efficient running. And again, it's allowed them to manufacture and find some explosive plays.
I don't know how I just landed on this. Did you and Adam Peters overlap at all at UCLA?
Not at UCLA, in San Francisco.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I could have put that together.
Yeah.
But I just thought
I think he was a year before me or 2 years before me.
But you got to know some folks in common and stuff from the Bruins, right?
Yeah.
Who was coach at UCLA? Was it Mora?
No, so for me it was Carl Durrell and then Rick Neuheisel.
Okay.
Yeah, back when it was the Pac-10.
How weird is that?
It is weird.
It's now the Pac-2.
Yeah, Pac a couple.
What did they – is there any resolution on what's happening with that? Is, like, Boise State and Gonzaga joining them or something?
I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with it. All I care about is that UCLA will be in a better conference. They'll be playing better football. They'll be able to make more money. And in this age of NAIL stuff, like, you need that cash to make sure you got a football team.
Yeah, dude, for me, I'm a Maryland guy, and I was in school in the ACC, and the ACC was awesome, and I loved it. And, you know, when they moved to the Big Ten, I wasn't thrilled. Mm. But now you just want to be on the boat that ain't sinking.
Be on the boat, man.
like you're no better off on it.
Like, I think that's exactly right. Like, I like my college. I like that they've got a football team. I like that they're competitive. And you need money. You need money to make this thing go. And, like, whatever the direction college football is going, if it's going to two super conferences or if it's just strictly a developmental thing for the NFL or the NBA or whatever calling it, like, I want my team to be a part of that as opposed to not having it. So
totally. Here's what you want to be a part of. You want to hear from Adam Peters, the Commander's general manager that seems to have all the right moves. Logan Paulson seems to have the world's largest water bottle. Nobody go anywhere.
No
Adam
doubt.
Peters next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right. Welcome back to B. Mitch and Finley. This is Logan Paulson. We are just waiting moments away from Adam Peters' press conference, hopefully talking about Marshawn Lattimore and his addition to the Washington Commanders. JP's out in the press box right now, or the bullpen, I think is what they call it. He's getting ready to ask some questions. So we're just kind of holding fort on that. And I think, you know, we're all really excited, you know, JP and I, speaking for both of us, about this trade and about what this could mean for the Commanders' defense, specifically Joe Witt Jr. and what he can do in terms of kind of elevating the rest of the group. You know, better coverage means better rush. Better coverage means better blitz packages. Better coverages elevates and puts Benjamin St. Juice in better positions. So really can't wait to hear, you know, what's going on in terms of Adam Peters and his perspective. And he's always so thoughtful and deliberate with his approach in terms of these trades. So can't wait to hear from him. And then we'll hear from Dan Quinn a little bit later. And then hopefully Brandon Coleman later in the show, unrelated to the Marshawn Lattimore trade. But, yeah, really looking forward to that. And I think another kind of big talking point, and hopefully someone asks him out there today, is does he end up playing this week against Pittsburgh? Because I do believe that we've talked about this a little bit on the show already, that if he does play, it's going to put these guys in a really good spot to be more aggressive from a coverage standpoint, commit more resources to the run. And now the man of the hour is here, Adam Peters, press conference. Here we go.
Good. Thank you. I'll say a few words and then take some questions, but really excited about getting Marshawn. He came in this morning, got a chance to meet him. He's what we thought he was as a person, as a competitor. And just want to thank really all the people that went into this, and it's a lot. You know, it's not just me sitting there making calls on the deadline day. It's really, it's months, and our pro scouting staff making calls and canvassing the league and watching players throughout that whole time. Our R&D department doing a lot of work on a lot of different players, and most of this doesn't even, you know, see the light of day for anybody outside of our building. And they do a ton of work and did a lot of write-ups on a lot of different guys. And then we had a lot of people calling around the league. And we have, I think we had Martin Mayhew, Chris White, Lance Newmark, Scott Fitterer, David Blackburn, all just canvassing the league for weeks and weeks and just seeing what we could get. And if there's anything out there, and a lot of it just goes and nothing happens. But this year we were able to make something happen that we're all really happy about. And when you get to a certain point, you involve the coaches, and they do a great job giving you an opinion of how a player fits into your scheme. And really there's a lot of people to thank. Certainly Mickey Loomis was really, really professional and really all that he did in terms of his communication and being straightforward. So I thank him a lot for the way he dealt with this. And really the biggest thing is we're really, really excited to get one of the best corners in the entire league and a guy who fits how we play. He's a four-time Pro Bowler. He's a dog competitor. He's what you want in a corner. And what's really cool is we were able to know a lot more about him with he's one, and you guys probably read a cool story about this, but we have four players from the Ohio State 2014 recruiting class now. And so we're trying to corner the market there. Those guys are pretty good. I don't know how they lost any games, but so there's some guys in this locker room that knew him already. And so that's going to make this transition even easier. And we're pumped to have him. So with that, we'll take some questions.
When did you really circle in on him? And you guys were very big on fit and free agency and having knowledge of players, firsthand knowledge of players. So when you don't have it quite like that, how do you go about settling on him?
Yeah, I think, first you look at the play style and to see does he fit our play style and the type of mindset we want on the field. And then you really, with your contacts throughout the league, you can get a lot of information on players and certainly in your own locker room too. So all those things lined up for Marshawn and he was available, which, you know, that's the last piece of it, I guess. You know, you can watch him all you want and love him all you want, but if he's not available, he's not available. And we didn't know that he would be available for that whole time. But if you wait till when he's available, then it's usually too late. And so they did all that legwork, our staff did, just in case he was, and he happened to be, and that's when we were able to make that decision quickly.
Hey, Adam, you talked about doing the canvassing and checking the league, and obviously that's part of the job, regardless of whether you're looking to make a big move or not. But you also, when you got here, talked about building through the draft. So at what point for you was there like a, hey, we still have this my idea of building, but our record is this, the league looks like this. Was there a point where you're like, hey, we need to be more aggressive for right now?
Yeah, that's a great question, and you're always trying to strike that balance. And I think, I'll give you a long answer, but really we were able to pick up some draft picks earlier this year, and we had a surplus. We had 9 picks, and so that made us feel a little more comfortable doing this. And then also you're looking at the landscape of this next year's draft, this next year's free agency class, and knowing that with some of our corners that are going to be coming up as free agents, that we're going to need to either re-sign one of those guys or dip into free agency or the draft. So you weigh all that, and then you see, okay, is this player better or easier to get than maybe a free agent or a draft pick? And so knowing all that, and then knowing that we had a couple extra picks, and we still feel really good. We still have 7 picks, and I think if you look at the charts, our picks are actually, what we have now is more in terms of points than what we had, you know, back in August. So we still feel really good about that. We have a what's currently a really high third round pick. We'll see how that ends, the season ends, but and that was one pick that we certainly didn't want to give up for this, and so long answer, but that's kind of how we looked at it.
Hi. Was there ever any hesitance about spending a day two pick? And, you know, do you think you would be in this spot or really considering this if you guys weren't having the success you are on the field now?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're always trying to, and I'll say this probably 10 times in this in this presser, but just doing whatever you can to make your team better. And so looking down every avenue. So regardless of your record, if you can, you know, acquire a really, really good player, and he, right now he's making the minimum this year, so it's not super costly, and he's making a lot of money the next couple of years, and rightfully so, he's a really good player, but that's, you know, that's the market. So whether you're, you know, whatever your record is, if you can add a really good player, and you think it's the right move for your team, then you do it. And so you know, that was our thought process going into that.
What makes him a schematic fit, and how does he change your defense?
Yeah, he's, I mean, I think Sammy, he fits in any defense, which is what's cool about him. And so whatever we're playing, if we're playing zone, we're playing press man, we're playing whatever it is, he's going to be able to do all that. He's a really, really smart player. He's a really instinctive player. He's physical, and those are things we're looking for. He's just a really good football player all around. And so, you know, I think that's really what you're looking for on tape. And then you hear the great things about, you know, how he competes. And, you know, Terry said he was a dog competitor, you know. And so you see it and then you hear it. And so those guys will fit in any locker room. And that's, they don't always come available. So we were excited that he was.
Hey, good afternoon, Adam. You're getting a lot of praise this first, you know, halfway through the first season as a general manager. How much are you leaning on your experiences and what you learned from working with John Lynch and obviously throughout the rest of your career as well?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You lean on all your experiences and you try to do what you think is best and based on, and you emulate some of the great things that you've seen other people do. And so I try to do that a lot with John, a lot with John Lynch, John Elway. I mean, it goes on and on. I've been around so many good people that have done their job really well. So you try to take little things and whether they did something really well or whether they made a mistake. And I was just really fortunate to not only be around those people, but also for them to let me in behind the curtain to see how they go about their business, and I'm very fortunate for that. So, you know, that's, you know, doing this 22 years, you know, you get a lot of different, you know, exposure to different things. So just very appreciative for that, and keep trying to do, you know, as best we can to make this team really, really good.
You said Loomis was really straightforward in the communication here. How do you balance your reputation as a straightforward communicator? How do you balance that in these hyper-competitive situations?
Yeah, I think, that it's really, first and foremost, it's awesome to have somebody who's straightforward and honest with you, you know, and that makes things a lot easier. And Mickey's always been like, this is the second trade we've done with him, so been very appreciative of that. And yeah, there were other teams involved, and so you set kind of this is what our value is, and this is as far as we'll go, and we won't go further than that. But you can push up to that if you feel like that's the right value for your player, and you're not putting your team in a bad position. So there's a lot of back and forth, and it's interesting, and you're kind of wondering, all right, do they have this? Do they have that? So it's a little nerve wracking, but you know, you. If you really want somebody and you think it's the right value, then you can go ahead and do that.
What are the mechanics of a deal like that with your head coach? Can you give us the process of that discussion?
Yeah, DQ, I mean, every step of the way we're having a conversation. I'm keeping him updated. He's coaching this team, and he's doing a great job of coaching this team, and he allows me to do this, and so I'll just update him every day, whenever I have a conversation with somebody. And okay, we're looking at this player, we're looking at that player, we'll give a cut up to him so he doesn't have to search through hours and hours of tape. We'll make him a cut up and so he can look at those players. And he's got a great he's seen so many players throughout the years, so he's very familiar with guys. He's awesome at evaluating, and so he's evaluated all these guys throughout the draft process too as well. And so, and he watches not just as a defensive guy, he watches, you know, he's a head coach and he watches the defense of other teams. So he's got great experience, and it's just really constant communication. And, all right, does this guy fit what we do? How does he fit what we do? You know, what are the things we would need to work on? And that, and I just can't. I'm so thankful that I'm with a head coach like that, that is so, has zero ego and a ton of trust, and just fun to be around all the time. And I can learn a ton from him, and I already have.
Adam, over the last couple of seasons, Marshawn has dealt with some injuries. He has a hamstring injury right now. What type of due diligence did you do on that current injury, and what's the expectation of when he can play? Do you expect him to maybe play on Sunday?
Yeah, so, he does. He has a hamstring injury right now, and he just got in today, so we're just evaluating that. And in terms of due diligence, when you're doing a trade like this and there is a player that could be injured, you know, our trainer will talk to their trainer. They'll allow us to get the medical records and all that so we understand the full picture, the full scope of the injury, or just their injury history, really. And so we got all that information and really just taking it day to day. And he won't practice today, so you won't see him out there today. But, we'll just take it day by day and put him out there when he's ready.
We have Coach Quinn coming up, so we got time for three more.
Adam, one of the good traits about Marshawn is still got top end speed at 28, but I assume this is going to be a longer term thing than just the rest of the season. So how do you evaluate players as they start to age in terms of their physical attributes and how effective they can be maybe as they slow down a little bit, especially at that position?
Yeah, that's a great question. And 28, he's still in his prime, and you're right, he's still, you know, in terms of his metrics and everything, he's still running at a really high level, and you see it on the tape as well. But I think one of the things that, and I don't think he's going to drop off at all anytime. I really don't. But you know, if he did, or if any player did, you look at things like how smart are they, how instinctive are they, can they make up for those deficiencies if they get to that point? And he has all that, you know. And really, to be honest, I didn't really even, you know, I'm not concerned about that. And we have him this year, and then two more years under contract, and we'll address that when we need to. But we feel like he's at the top of his game still.
Kind of joked about the Ohio State thing, but yeah. Is there a point in the process where, whether it's informal or formal, you ask any of the guys that have connections to him, that know him, to consult with them about, you know, bringing in a guy like this?
Yeah, you do. And I think especially we have all those guys that we have in our locker room, that Ohio State guys are, I mean, they're legit dudes, you know, and you trust their opinion. And I think it would be probably not, I'm going to say foolish, but I think you'd be missing something if you didn't ask them, and they had something to tell you that you should have known before you made the deal. So I'll keep those conversations private, but yeah, we definitely tapped into that, and everything was good. I can tell you that.
Adam, if we'd asked you September 1st, would you be likely to be adding a player or adding more picks at the deadline? What would you have thought?
I would have said we need to beat the Buccaneers. I think it goes back to if whether you're, you know, 9-0 or 0-9, you're always trying to do what's best for the team. And so if that adds up to adding a player that you can add that's really good, like Marshawn, then you always consider it. And then if it's also trading a player away, then you consider that too. So you take them as they come, and I don't necessarily look at it as being a buyer or a seller. I think just trying to do my best I can to help this team, you know, be as good as it can.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
I can tell you why they lost the game.
Thanks.
Yeah. Live right now to Dan Quinn's press conference.
All right, what's happening, everybody? All right, awesome day, man. For us, right back to it. So for us, this is our competition Wednesday, and a lot to work on this week in preparation for Sunday. Pittsburgh's got a really strong crew in all three phases, so it'll take the whole week. But one, man, we're ready to get rolling. I did remind the team, and I emphasized the importance of being ready now, and that could be for every person in every meeting room and every player. When your number's called and you deliver, it's a big deal. And I think Chris Rodriguez was the latest to show that he's down for the cause. And I just wanted to make sure that's the responsibility of all 70 on the roster. And when we're developing people, it's to get ready to play. And so that was a good message, you know, for all the guys to dig in together and get better. And so that's kind of what we chase, you know, on a regular basis. So glad to get rocking with you guys.
Dan, obviously you've talked that Adam is going to sort of run the room when it comes to acquiring a player like Marshawn, and you roll with the team you have. But what point for you were you kind of like, all right, we've got this record. The situation is what it is. Looking around, maybe cornerback is an area where we could get some extra.
Yeah, help. I'd say you had me at hello. You know, this was easy, man, to get and acquire a player of Sean's caliber, the toughness, the physicality, whether it was this month, 6 months, you know, from now, like this is a player that you'd want to be on your team. He stands for the right stuff. He's got an attitude to battle, and you know, really pumped to have him here.
I was going to ask you too, what do you think of him just a player and over the years, and how does he fit? How do you see envisioning with him and then Benjamin and Mike, you know, how their roles might
change? He's you know, certainly been exposed to a good system, and I'd say I've had the, you know, opportunity to coach against him as well. And not everybody can go and match onto different players in different spots, left side, right side, in the slot, and doing that. And so you got to be a smart guy to be able to do that. And he's shown over the course of his career the ability to move inside and outside and staying connected to receivers, John. That's really the name of the game. And he's able to play it tight. He's a good tackler. So, yeah, we're pumped we got him, man.
How will you manage sort of his health at this point, and at what point do you think you'll start to really involve him in practice and kind of get him ready for game
time? Yeah, that's the assessment that will be here today. So today was our first time, you know, having him be here, and he'll visit, you know, with the training staff and really get an assessment for where he was, you know, just leaving New Orleans and then transitioning into it here. So that's the onboarding process, Nikki, that you're speaking of. It's an important one to make sure that he's really at his best and feels strong and confident to do that, because the player is going to, you know, I'm ready, the opportunity, the moment. So we're going to make sure that we don't miss one step, you know, of the ladder as we're going to go and get him ready.
And you've mentioned just going against him from your time in Atlanta, especially. What do you remember from those moments? What really stood out to you about the way he played?
I think the ability to get down and go challenge. And when you do that against a player like a Julio Jones, there's some confidence that has to go into that because that's something that's not everybody's down for that. And so to see him go to challenge, or a guy like an Evans that you've seen, you know, there's confidence that comes with that. And sometimes a metric may not tell a story. It just tells you the numbers, but there's not some throws that go to a certain side and some things that happen. And so we're just pumped to have him here. But the competitor is what sticks out to me first. And it takes a lot of confidence to go down the line of scrimmage and guard somebody.
How much do you discuss or consider bringing a new player into, you know, a good locker room chemistry that you guys have right now?
Yeah, Adam is very mindful of that. And he knows the importance of that with the team, and he knows, you know, I share that opinion with him. And so through the draft, through a trade, or acquiring somebody that's not with a team, you know, that could have been on the practice squad, they go through a pretty exhaustive, you know, step-by-step process. Having the right people is the first thing, if that's the first thing to get right. And so that's where, if that part's not right, then that's the end of the line. And that goes for everybody that we bring in here. We want to make sure coming here is, you know, unique and a really cool experience. And I told him today in front of the team, I said, you can ask anybody here, man. We're all here to help and support you and onboard you fast. That means rookies or a vet. like we're all on the same page here. So it doesn't have to be, I'm not going to talk to him as a rookie. That's no. That ain't how we roll, man. Like everybody on this team, we're here to help support anybody that comes in, and the message will be the same from all the guys. And so I thought that was strong for him to know that he's coming into a place that people really support the hell out of one another.
And Marshawn's playing almost exclusively on the right side so far this year. Do you anticipate that continuing, or are you using him more as a chess piece like you mentioned?
I would say it'd be more versatile, you know, than where we're at. But I want to get a sense for getting into the rhythm here for a while. But I would sense that would be something that we'd move around some.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
Good afternoon.
I think a lot of people are kind of assuming this will eventually, if not right away, move Mikey back inside. Is that an accurate assumption, or is that still to be determined?
Still to be determined.
And so then
I'm not going to give away all my cards. Right, the first right. Day. I mean, geez.
The ripple effects of making such a splash move at the trade deadline. Can you talk about just kind of some of those and how impactful that can be for your defense?
Yeah, it is. And most of the time, you guys have seen, there's, you know, there's probably for all of you guys, certainly more than me, the chatter and what's out there and what could happen. But then as it gets closer, things heat up, you know, much like a draft comes where, you know, as you get on the clock, things are heating up. So you have to be ready and prepared when a moment's there, and Adam and his team certainly are. And that wasn't just in this instance. That was, you know, a place kicker. It was Noah Brown. It's glue guys that you find that stand for the right things. And a guy like Noah is an example of that. You know, when you enter somebody into the group, you know, after the, you know, final cut and then finding his way onto it, that's a big deal. And so, if I'm not mistaken, I think Noah might have been inactive as the first game, and then now you're building, you know, some work as you're going to go. So it's not just, you know, add water and, you know, you're into the culture of what we do. It's, you know, learning that process together. And it's a good group to be a part of, to come into. There's going to be a lot of guys that are going to throw him a lot of support.
How much will the Lattimore acquisition maybe allow you guys to do some stuff that you've been limited on so far?
You're definitely barking up the right tree.
Switching gears, can we get a B-Rob
update?
There
you go. I'd be glad to. B-Rob will practice today, and I'll get, you know, a better assessment as we go through today and tomorrow's practice. And all signs are pointing in the right one. We're really going to push it this week and make sure he can respond in the right way so he can, you know, enter with such confidence about, you know, how he has to play.
You began this by saying you told the guys to be ready. You have a Pittsburgh team that is ready.
Yes.
They've been playing very well. What's your respect level for that franchise and that team?
It's so high, and it really starts with Mike. And he's somebody that I've known more years than half of my life, you know. So my first year of coaching was Mike's senior year playing. And we've remained good friends ever since that time. We actually coached together for a year. After that, his first year coaching and my second. But he's just somebody I admire a lot. You've heard me talk a lot, Chick, about identity and what that looks like. And I think Mike stands for that. His team stands for that. So not many people I regard higher, you know, as a coach and as a man than Mike. So I feel the toughness of him through their team. And it's a good group. You know, all three phases, like you talk about ball and, you know, they're plus 10. So, you know, important we talk about that. We talk about special teams. These are going to be two excellent special teams units, absolutely battling for it between Danny's group and Larry's group here. There's going to be kicks covering and big tackles and punts and kicks. I mean, it's going to be all hands on deck. And like all the stories within the game, I think the special teams in this game specifically really is going to have a big narrative into it. And we've got some good special teams players as well.
Dan, when you make such a bold move at the trade deadline, acquiring a high caliber player like Marshawn Lattimore, what type of messaging do you think that gives to maybe the rest of the league and even your own fan base?
I'd say I'll start with the fan base because it's what I would tell the team first is, you know, our rule on the team is protect the team. And our theme of our program is competition. And we're going to absolutely relentlessly compete at everything. And that's a chance to make our team better, make you better, make the group better, like Adam and his group or myself and the coaches. Like, we're going to dig in hard to do that. And so what does Marshawn mean? He's a competitor. And so we're adding a real dog-ass competitor into a group of guys that like to fight and like to battle. And so to me, that's an extension of competing, to say we're not going to miss a moment, you know, to add a competitor onto our team. And so that has nothing to do with the league. I'd rather it's just about us, really. That's how I think of it.
With the late bye, this is obviously a grind for this team. 10 straight weeks of football, bumps and bruises, but the mental aspect, how do you ensure they remain sharp through this kind of grind?
Yeah, we've not talked about a bye because that's still a ways away. And so one of our signs in our team room says the only fight that matters is the one that you're in. And try not to think down the road of what's there. Just, man, it's just this week, just this game, just this moment. And if we stay into that process of the week, competition today, the ball tomorrow, or game management and finishing Friday.
Hey, Brandon, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what's going on, man? How are things?
Going good. How are you?
Yeah, welcome to the show, man. First off, how was your first kind of start this last weekend? You know, you've played a lot of football games so far, but your first kind of extended play time, how was that?
It was good, man. I was looking forward to it. Felt great being out there full game, being able to kind of get in the groove and get comfortable out there. It was great.
Hey, Brandon, what's it like, you know, kind of missing a lot of training camp and having to ramp up in season as a rookie? Like, how difficult is that for you? And how do you feel like you are full go now, full 100%, everything's rocking?
Yeah, I feel like I was full go since week one. Obviously, I wasn't able to do a lot of physical stuff, but that's why I just focused and emphasized the mental part of the game. I'm asking a lot of questions, making sure I watch practices, making sure I kind of catch up on things that I wasn't able to do physically on the field during training camp. And then just week in, week out since the season, kind of just picking up on things, getting comfortable, learning from the guys that playing left and right of me, obviously from Luke. He helped me out a lot just watching his game, seeing how he plays things. So that helped me kind of get in the swing of things, being able to come out there and do what I did last week.
Yeah, and again, you kind of had like an unusual kind of progression. You know, you're kind of splitting reps with Luke, and Luke's a great guy, really good football player. What was that like? You know, a lot of offensive linemen I've played with, they want to play the whole time. They want to be in the whole game to get in a rhythm. How was that kind of coming in and out and sharing reps with Luke?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of an adjustment for the first couple of weeks, like week one and two. Like you said, you're not used to it, so you kind of don't get in that groove of getting the read on like the defender where he doesn't run versus pass. But after that kind of first week, we're able to kind of tell each other what we saw out there, make adjustments on the fly. Then we also saw a mess with the defenders. Like they have to play two different play styles of offensive linemen throughout the game, which messes up their kind of plan too. So it has like its ups and downs, its pros and cons.
And you know, as you've gone into this, getting to know Nick Allegretti for me has been really rewarding. I mean, that's an insightful, smart, funny dude. What's it like having veterans, besides Luke, who you're kind of rotating with, but like knowing you've got that guy next to you in the guard spot, what has he helped you with?
Yeah, man, not just Nick, but like the whole line. Those guys have a ton of experience, and they're really helpful. Like they're looking out for me, making sure that I'm caught up on things, especially during that time I missed. I mean, they kind of helped me with seeing things that I might not see with a guy in the first year, technique-wise, set-wise. Andrew helped me out a lot with my set over the past couple weeks. And then also just being able to kind of support me and kind of uplift me. You know, at times, especially as a rookie, you kind of think that you might not belong, stuff like that, but they made sure to tell me, like, you belong here, just keep working. You're doing a great job, you know, and that keeps the morale up, and those guys are doing a great job.
Can I ask you something personally?
Yeah.
Do you speak German?
I do, yeah.
Is that – I know you have military family, right? Is that part of that, just bouncing around from bases? Or how – I guess why do you speak German?
My mom's full German. My dad, he was stationed in Berlin, but he was already retired. When I was born in Virginia, Newport News. But we moved straight back after I was born, so I grew up over there. Just normal in a normal apartment in a German neighborhood, so it's just normal.
Do you rock? Could you put like the flag on your helmet if you want? You know how some players do that?
I wanted to. I didn't know there was like a whole regulation for that in the NFL, so I'll make sure to have it next season. But yeah, when I get the chance, I'll put it on there.
So I don't know how traditional this is, and you will know. So correct me if I'm wrong, but when I was in Munich
I basically survived on eating donor kebabs. They're one of the best. They're one of the best, like, sandwiches or whatever you would call that thing. Yeah. Why aren't those more prevalent? Do you know any good place for a donor kebab?
Not out here.
Does he even like donor kebabs? You should ask him if I know you like them.
Nah, why don't you ask him?
That's my top food. They're so good, dude. So it's crazy how good they are, and I don't know how they haven't gone worldwide yet. But not out here. I found some Mediterranean spots that kind of have some bowls that have kind of the same meat and have the same flavor, but I'm still on the hunt.
Can you do me a favor? Can you say you're listening to B. Mitch and Finley? Hi, this is Brandon Coleman, and you're listening to B. Mitch and Finley in German?
To who?
Just say, hi, this is Brandon Coleman, and you're listening to B. Mitch and Finley, but say it in German.
Hello?
Did I stump you? All right, too much German conversation. Yeah, I guess. We'll see if Brandon comes back. I mean, what people don't realize, it sounded like he was in the locker room, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
And you get really bad service in that locker room. I guess we'll see if he calls back. Maybe he didn't like
the German question.
Maybe not.
Maybe he's not that stoked on donor kebabs.
Donor kebabs.
So what
he,
is
he
it?
Seemed very stoked.
He did
on those.
Seem. What is like? What's the meat? Is it like beef or is it?
We got him back. Brandon, you there?
Yeah. Call drop.
All good. The locker room gets terrible service, dude, so no worries.
That's right.
let's switch it back to football. I'll stop bugging you with random German questions, although Logan wants to know the kind of meat in donor kebabs. How much do you enjoy run blocking? Because when you watch the
tape. What kind of question is that, man?
It seems like, I know all you guys like that.
Offensive lineman, get
out
of here. But
you seem to thoroughly enjoy yourself out there.
Yeah, no, like you said, I like all aspects of the game, but run blocking, it's like a few say knee points, but it's just who's out there, who loves it more, man, who likes to get grimy, and when you just prepare and know the playbook, you kind of just go out there and you're just on autopilot because you know what to do. It's just about coming off the rock, and that's just one of the best aspects of the sport.
And you were talking a lot about technical pass set stuff, and I played and I coach still, and I love hearing like the technical nuance stuff. So what was like, if you could share, like what was one of the details that you were like, oh man, this is different than college. This is something I can add to my set or something I can change about my set to maximize my production at the NFL level.
Yeah, for sure. The first thing that I noticed even before playing was the get off and just how important it was to be timely off the snap. You know, being able to be on cadence was big. And then what I noticed at first is in college, I was able to save myself a lot when I'm leaning, just because a lot of guys didn't have second moves. But in the league, they have 3-4 moves lined up in one pass rush. So over the past few weeks, just setting more than an aiming point, inside shoulder, being able to punch and use fakes to work my shoulders back and just playing more balance instead of trying to feel like the all-out kill shot to stump the guy. It's a lot about mirroring, being able to know what they're doing and being reactionary, which I've worked on over the past couple weeks.
Talking with Commanders rookie left tackle Brandon Coleman. You can give him a follow on Instagram if you want, at @B_Coleman77. Dude, I'm curious. Obviously, the Commanders made a big move yesterday with the NFL trade deadline. But how did you find out about the trade for Marshon Lattimore, and how did DQ address that with the team?
I just saw it on Instagram, on social media. And I was excited, man, great player, excited to have him here. And he just addressed it today in the team meeting, announced that he was here. So, it was, you know, he's ready to work, what type of guy he is. And we're all excited that he's here, man, ready to come to work.
So that's cool. So he got up and kind of introduced himself to the whole team in the team meeting room today. That's kind of neat. Have you, obviously you're a rookie. You've never experienced that before, but.
Yeah, that's dope. Be able to kind of meet him.
I bet, man. And what's it like? At what point, because I've heard Ertz has said this a few different times, when we ask him about Jaden and people say, you know, what's it like seeing a rookie quarterback have this level of success? I mean, rookie left tackles don't usually hit the ground running so well either. And Ertz always says he's not a rookie anymore. I recognize it's his first year in the league, but at a certain point, you just know how to play in the NFL. What has that been like for you, where you recognize, yo, I belong on this level, regardless if I've played one game, 5 games, 10 games?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely still have my moments mentally where I'm like, still think, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I can learn, and that will never change, where I doubt myself. But it's been getting better to the point where, you know, I understand it's just a lot of preparation that's at stake, you know, and holding yourself to those things. Man, every game looks the same in terms of set plans, in terms of aiming points, the way you attack different rushes. Like, you have to change stuff up every week and be uncomfortable with new techniques that you might have to learn. You know, that kind of helped me just see that, you know, I belong at this level when I was able to start doing that, being more vertical one week versus being more on an angle versus being thicker, you know, where your eyes are at. So over the weeks, that's a lot more simple for me, to where the game started slowing down and I felt like, okay, I can be out here and be comfortable and not always, like, think about certain stuff.
Hey, Brandon, thank you so much for making time for us. I know Wednesdays are a very busy day in the NFL calendar, and we appreciate it sincerely.
Appreciate y'all for having me.
All right, that is Commanders rookie left tackle Brandon Coleman. Give him a follow on Instagram at B_Coleman77. I mean, look, he's been outrageously impressive, right?
He's been awesome. I mean, just for a guy, and we kind of knew that it was a possibility because of the athlete, the length,
yep,
the experience that he has, like the growth potential, I guess. It shouldn't be experience, growth potential, but he's definitely been awesome, and I really think the staff deserves a ton of credit for how they've brought him along. A little unconventional in terms of splitting reps, but I think that's kind of allowed him to, you know, kind of get his feet wet first before jumping all the way in.
Jeff Howe from The Athletic joins us next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.